Hello, it's Wednesday, July 26th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. We tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. Before we get into our subject today, which is a recently released DVD called Protocols of Zion, I'd like to give everyone a quick update on the Middle East. Now, we're going to have Mark Glenn on our show tomorrow. He's been a guest on Wing TV many times, and he's going to talk about recent developments. But I think the biggest thing is that there was an attack on a UN outpost. This was committed by the nation of Israel. Israel has come out, their president, and said they're deeply troubled by this attack and their usual rhetoric. But then Kofi Annan from the UN says that this was an apparent deliberate attack on this UN outpost. Four peacekeepers that were in the outpost were killed, one a Canadian, an Australian, one from Finland, and also another individual from China. So this is straight from the head of the UN. He said it looks like an apparent deliberate attack on the UN outpost. Of course, Israel denies, just like they've denied for 60 years. But I'm sure we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. But it shows where this war is going and how certain elements are operating in this war. So,
is this part of the strategic bombing campaign?
Yeah. The UN outpost were four peacekeepers. I mean, anything with the word peace in it, I think Israel deliberately targets. So, before we go into this movie, I have to give everyone a little bit of background, kind of the coincidences, that we got a phone call a few days ago from an individual, and he said, why don't you guys ever talk about the Protocols of Zion? And I said, well, we've mentioned it on the show, we've written about it in the past, but I said, I don't know, you know, we just have never really devoted an entire show to it. Then, a couple days later, Lisa tells me about this guy named Bill Douglas, who's involved with 9/11 Truth, or affiliated with him anyway, and he's going on a rant about how anybody that talks about Israel and 9/11, they're COINTELPRO, they're an operative, blah, blah, blah.
They're anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic.
If you mention Israel in relation to 9/11, you're an anti-Semite.
Right. And one of the reasons that he went on this rant was that there was a recently released DVD called The Protocols of Zion. So when we were at the video store Monday night, we're wandering along the aisle, and right there it was. So between this phone call, Bill Douglas, and then going to the video store, I said, well, it must mean we're supposed to watch this.
And let me tell you, it's totally pro-Israel propaganda, this documentary.
Well, I'm a big fan of documentaries.
Uh-huh.
And to say that we're disappointed in this one isn't giving it enough credit. It was a very poorly put together documentary, and I was talking to Mark Glenn on the phone before the show, and I told him, I said, you know what? I went into this with an open mind, and I thought, well, maybe if this guy hits hard enough, the guy who did it was named Mark Levin, he put the movie together, if he hit hard enough, maybe I would switch my views around, or maybe I would question my views or take another look at it. Well, after the movie was over, after an hour and a half, not only didn't I change my views, it strengthened my views even more so.
Yeah, we were really irritated by this film. Basically, this guy, Levin, wanted to find out why so many people dislike and mistrust the Jews.
Right.
And he wanted to know how much of a role the Protocols of Zion play into that. Now, the Protocols of Zion are supposedly the minutes of this secret meeting held by Jews in the late 19th century, and they were written in Russia. And they really describe, as is pointed out in this documentary, not a subhuman group of people, but a superhuman group of people.
Yeah. And before we get into it, I want to allow the filmmaker himself to speak about what's in this. So if we turn the DVD case over on the back, this is the blurb that Mark Levin wrote about the movie Protocols of Zion. He says, despite all the evidence, millions around the world continue to blame the Jews for 9/11. I have to stop right then and say, despite all the evidence, wait until 9/11 comes out within the next two weeks.
What he's talking about is the official version, which has been so disproven, like, multiple times over. I don't know where this guy has his head, but it certainly isn't into any alternative information.
Right. He continues, this belief is a modern-day incarnation of the infamous protocols of the Elders of Zion, the century-old forgery that some people claim to be the Jews' master plan to rule the world. Filmmaker Mark Levin sets out to understand why this racist tract has been revived and to challenge one of the most persistent, insidious conspiracy theories of all time. In the course of this explosive journey, it wasn't explosive, believe me, Levin finds himself delving into the heart of faith, facing those who would traffic in bigotry, all in the name of God. So this is on the back of the case of this DVD. And go ahead, Lisa, take it from here. What are your thoughts after we watched it last night?
Well, we got a lot of the Jewish persecution complex thrown at us in this video. He didn't really delve too deeply into the issue of 9/11. Mostly it was just about anti-Semitism and how the Jews are being blamed for everything, and that other people are just non-Jews, are just jealous of Jewish people for their success. And they got into the Holocaust a little bit, and you got to hear this elderly Jewish man tell you about the umpteen physical ailments that are wrong with him and how he's not going to stop talking about the Holocaust. Levin talked to a group of Arabs, some Palestinians, and what I noticed right away was how he completely ignored the whole Palestinian genocide issue. I mean, these Palestinians are talking to him passionately. They're stridently talking about how their relatives and loved ones and friends and neighbors back in Palestine are getting killed. How they can talk to a Jew in America on the street, but in Israel, they'd probably get shot for doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And he glosses over the slaughter of these unarmed civilians in Lebanon and Palestine because, you know, the Jews are the ones who are the victims.
Well, the thing I noticed, and this was before Lisa even came into the living room, was the previews for this movie. And they had a preview for a movie called Fateless. And this is a movie about the Holocaust. And right off the bat, I'm thinking, here it is again, Holocaust Incorporated. They've made an entire industry out of this. Mm-hmm. And Mark Farrell talks about this when he was on our show. How about every two or three days there's a new Holocaust movie or Holocaust TV show or Holocaust book or documentary or on and on. And I was thinking, how many tens of hundreds of times can we retell this story or this hoax? And it's just total psychic driving, propaganda, brainwashing, being pummeled into our heads. So that's how the movie starts. Even before it begins, we have this brainwashing being pounded into our heads about the Holocaust.
Levin interviews a lot of different people in this movie, of course. Most of them are in line with his own thinking. He interviews Abe Foxman. Abe Foxman says something to the effect that the world begins to believe what it wants to believe, and that's why the protocols are a lie. Well, I have a question, and I asked Victor this too. I said, if the protocols are so non-authentic and they're such a big lie, then why are we seeing them implemented in our world, across the globe, in American society, through every major power center
so accurately
across the world? I mean, it's a mirror image of what's written in the protocols. If they're so fake, why are they being implemented? I mean, there's no other way to look at it. Is this just another coincidence? I don't subscribe to coincidence theory.
Right. Well, the movie starts then at ground zero. And Mark Levin, the filmmaker, is talking about how there's all these rumors, these false stories that Israel and the Jews were involved or had foreknowledge of 9/11, and he goes into the ones where the Jews were warned that no Jews died in the World Trade Center, and he says, well, this is all in a book called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. But then at the end of the movie, he's at some kind of Jewish symposium. There's a spokesman there, and here's an exact quote. He says, this is about 9/11. He says, you have to be filled with complete blind hatred to think that the Jews did 9/11. Well, You mean if you research a subject, if you investigate a subject?
You ask questions.
Right. If you speak to others about a subject, then that means, according to this individual, that you're filled with complete blind hatred.
Well, that's really funny that you say that, because that's exactly what Bill Douglas was trying to make about my different points that I posted on that gatekeeper forum about, you know, that linked 9/11 and Israel and 9/11 and high-powered Jewish people, certain people, and that meant that I'm a racist. See, you can say whatever you want about white America, okay, non-Jewish
anybody.
White America, and you're not a racist. But you start saying anything linking a Jewish person to a crime or the state of Israel to criminal actions or war crimes or atrocities like genocide, you're a racist.
Right.
You start questioning Israel, you're a racist. You start using the word Zionist, you're a racist.
Well, listen to this. They had some footage of Elie Wiesel at the United Nations. Here's another quote from him. He says, if you hate Jews, now first of all, we don't hate Jews. What I do dislike is Judaism. I don't like the Talmud.
Say why you don't like Judaism.
I don't like Judaism because this is a religion that is into self-worship. They've replaced the worship of the tribe, their people, beyond, above and beyond the worship of God. So, not only that,
Wait a minute. What about that guy in the movie who said that the Jews are a corrosive force?
Yeah.
That are destroying the false gods of other nations.
Yeah, let me get to that. That's a good point.
And to replace them with what? Self-worship?
Yeah, well, I'll get to that. But Elie Wiesel said, if you hate Jews, then that means you hate all minorities. Now, I think that's a stretch. But then he goes on, if you hate Jews, then you hate everyone, including yourself.
Yeah,
so if you hate...
He who hates Jews will end up hating everybody and then themselves.
Yeah.
Is that a fact?
Now, how can we have such a stretch like that? How can anybody make that? That's like saying, if you don't like apples, then you don't like all fruit. If you don't like radishes, you hate all vegetables, and i.e., you hate all food. I mean, that's essentially what he's saying. So, and nobody's here. We've never once on Wing TV, and it's very rare that I ever, ever hear anyone say they hate Jews. What we are doing is questioning Israel, questioning the Talmud, questioning Zionism, questioning Judaism.
And we would be asking these questions in relation to 9/11 if it had to do with Protestants, Catholics, Methodists, little green men, or Jewish people.
Well, and we also question the nation of China.
Right.
We question Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We question the European Union.
Right.
We question other nations and other people, but we don't see big, long documentaries made about them. Now, there was a very good point in this movie, the best point in the whole movie.
Is that about the leg bone?
The leg
bone.
Yeah,
that was the only good point in the movie.
They got glossed over. So they're talking to someone, a woman, that lost her husband in 9/11. And this woman said that his leg bone was found on the roof.
I think it was the coroner guy who said
okay.
it.
Okay. His leg bone was found on the roof a block and a half away from the World Trade Center
on
towers.
On the rooftop of another building, a block and a half from the where the towers used to be. Now, is that more suggestive of an implosion, as the government would have us believe, or due to explosions?
Yeah. Now, and I've been to New York City. Lisa's from New York City. I've visited New York probably 13 or 14 times in my life now. Being there, you realize how long a city block is in New York City. It's not like a little block in a little hometown in, Butte, Montana or something that goes for a few feet. City blocks in New York City are big blocks. So, to find a leg bone a block and a half away on the roof of another building, do you think that would happen just from a building collapsing upon itself?
A gravity collapse.
Or do you think it might have some other force, like maybe an explosion? Very, very, very good point.
Crossed my mind, but apparently it didn't cross Bill Douglas's mind in the 9/11 Truth Alliance forum when he decided to scream to everyone that they should disavow anyone broaching the Israel 9/11 angle as an anti-Semite. He managed to go on and on and rant and throw temper tantrums about anti-Semitism, but he totally failed to mention this interesting point about the leg bone being found a block and a half away from the World Trade Center site, Ground Zero, on 9/11, on the roof of another building. I mean, and that's an important thing to point out to people, but he'd rather point out that we shouldn't ask questions about Israel.
Well, and Mark Levin, the filmmaker, didn't question,
Yeah, the filmmaker didn't make anything of it either.
He didn't highlight it, anything like that. It was glossed over, and it was the most important point in the whole damn movie. Mm-hmm. So, let me get now to what Lisa said. They had the cameras at a Jewish seder. And I don't even know what that is, in all honesty. It's some kind of Jewish religious day or celebration or function. I don't know what it is, but it was at a seder, okay? And they were interviewing an individual, and they were asking him why people don't like Jews, okay?
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know what? Maybe they have reason to, because we don't believe in boundaries of the nation state, okay? He says we don't believe in individual gods. So he said our detractors have us right, because we are a corrosive force. We want to get rid of all these things. So let's see. They don't believe in boundaries and nations.
And this is a Jewish guy saying this.
Yeah. They don't believe in boundaries and nation states. They want to get rid of God. Doesn't that sound a little bit like what the New World Order wants? So he's admitting freely that this is what Jews advocate. They don't want nation states. They don't want God.
Right, they want
the
New World Order.
Yeah, and doesn't this also sound vaguely familiar to the Protocols of the Elders of Zion? That's what they advocate in that book. Whether it's forged or authentic, I don't care. That's what it's advocating, and this guy is admitting that that's what they advocate.
I found out something else interesting watching this video, too, that I didn't know before, that Auschwitz is a for-profit place now. You can buy beer there.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of Holocaust Inc. I mean, it's become an industry. So, now here's another thing. They were interviewing a student. This was a female that went to Hebrew school.
Mm-hmm.
She was studying at this academy or this university, and she says that Jesus was never mentioned in Hebrew school. So this is a religious school, yet Jesus' name, according to her, is never mentioned there. Well, that's not surprising, because the Jews don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They think he was just some kind of enlightened figure, and that's it. And it all then goes back to the Talmud. And we've spoken about the Talmud on this show before. The way that the Jews wrote about and spoke about in their oral tradition of Jesus, that he was born of a harlot, that Mary gave birth to him during her menstrual cycle, that he had sex, he fornicated with donkeys, that he was a magician and a sorcerer. Now do you know why, in public, they don't talk about Jesus? I think they have some very peculiar views about Jesus.
But this guy, Levin, made sure that he showed his audience, the people who watched this documentary, that Arabs are biased, that their Quran is biased, that their Quran says that God said Jews are apes and pigs. Well, has anybody bothered to look in the Talmud and see what non-Jews are characterized as in the Talmud, in the teachings of the Judaic religion, the corrupted teachings?
We're
not supposed to point that out.
Yeah, that includes us and most people listening to this show. They see us as subhumans, as cattle, as sheep, on the level of insects and on and on.
I thought this was very interesting, too. Another Jewish fellow said, there's something supernatural about us, almost.
Yeah.
And then somebody else was talking about the genetic impulses that cause Jewish people, or certain Jewish people, I guess, to have Ashkenazis or whatever, to act the way they do.
Yeah, so we've spoken about this before, just in our conversations, and at some point in the future, I don't know when, we're going to bring this up a little bit more, but another interesting point was they had Mel Gibson on.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, I'm sure, remembers his famous interview with Diane Sawyer. This was right on the eve, I believe, of the release of his movie, The Passion of the Christ. And she asked him, she says, well, a lot of people accuse you in your movie of saying that the Jews killed Jesus. And he says, well, in all honesty, at the place where this happened, there weren't a whole bunch of Scandinavians there. There weren't a whole bunch of Eskimos there.
There were no Norwegians there.
Yeah, there weren't a whole bunch of South Americans there, but there were a whole lot of Jews there. There was an angry mob of Jews, and he says, we're not blaming this on the Norwegians or the Scandinavians or the South Americans. Like, who was there? Who was advocating Jesus to be nailed to this damn cross?
You're not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah. So they also then bring up the Passion play, which, you know, is basically the crucifixion of Jesus. And in the Passion play, the finger is pointed at the Jews as being the culprits. Well, they have a Jewish individual on then, and he says, well, what we really need is a new way to look at the Passion play, a new way to look at the New Testament. And right when Mel Gibson's play came out, there were even some people from the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the ADL that were saying that we need to rewrite the New Testament.
Oh my God, this is exactly what Bill Douglas, the people in the 9/11 Truth Alliance group were saying. We need a new nomenclature. Yeah. We need new phraseology. We need a new vocabulary to talk about Israel and Zionism and the Jewish people.
Yeah.
We need new words. How about the unapproved words called straight talk, calling it as it is?
Yeah, I mean, I'll put a whole lot more faith in the four Gospels of telling me a story than I will on some Jewish revisionists 2,000 years later that want to cater to it. And there were even people that were saying, well, the four Gospels are anti-Semitic because look at how they paint the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin.
But they were written by Jews, weren't they?
Yeah, they were written by, and they told the story accurately. So just another, what we have is revisionism.
Yeah.
And very self-serving revisionism, and they don't want in any way, shape, or form a reinforcement that the Jews killed Jesus. But all anybody has to do, if they go to the Wing TV homepage, click on the link on the top that says chapbooks, and go down to my book that's called Christ Killers, and there's overwhelming evidence in that book who put Jesus to death. And it wasn't, as Mel Gibson said, it wasn't the Norwegians and it wasn't the Scandinavians.
Yeah, I don't see why there should be any problem just saying exactly what happened
there.
But, they had Richard Pearl, the Prince of Darkness, in this video too. And he said that people who say that we're involved in all this stuff going on in the Middle East and the war on terror and blah, 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 because the government's more interested in serving Israel's interests as opposed to America's is just a nasty line of argument. And then he gave this demonic little smirk, which was about as believable as George Bush's little smirk. And, it's kind of funny how this guy Levin could get, I don't know, interviews with these various people, like these power players.
Oh, yeah. Well,
apparently Levin's family had some clout.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing about 9/11. And I was very glad that Levin delved into it. He went back to a place called Weehawken. I hope that's the name of it, Weehawken, New Jersey. This is where Urban Moving Systems is. Anybody that's familiar with 9/11 and investigated the Jewish angle or the Jewish involvement in it knows all about Urban Moving Systems. I cover it in depth in 9/11 Even Evil when it comes out in a couple weeks. And this was a place that hired Jews that were surveilling Arabs in different parts of America. This was also the place where you have the infamous dancing Israelis, okay? The dancing Israelis, one of the big smoking guns. Now, I thought Levin was going to come in here and completely shred this story.
Right.
And
he didn't.
He glossed upon it, he touched upon it, and then he went on his way. He showed a little clip.
And they didn't deny they were dancing around and happy and smiling. The one guy that did come out and talk said, well, some of our people were smiling and happy because they see terrorism back in Israel all the time. So what? They were happy that it was happening here to somebody else?
It was unbelievable because
I
thought Levin would go find these five guys. And they had a little film clip of them doing an interview on Israeli television, which is quoted in 9/11 Evil. So I thought, well, to dispel this notion, He'd find them, interview them. They'd say, no, we never danced. We weren't celebrating. We weren't taking pictures. We weren't dressed like Arabs. We didn't have explosives in our van when the cops pulled us over. We didn't have any of these things.
Yeah.
We didn't have wire cut or razor blade box cutters. We didn't have any of that. But he touches upon it and then just as quickly moves on.
Yeah.
So nothing is dispelled.
The five Israelis were detained for 10 weeks. In this film, this is what he says. They were detained for 10 weeks, and then they were deported.
Yeah.
He also made a point of calling some, popular people within Hollywood.
Right.
People like Norman Lear, Larry David, and Rob Reiner. Now, he calls Norman Lear. Norman Lear didn't want to discuss the fact that he's a Jew and he's a high power player in Hollywood. So he told this Mark Levin guy to call Larry David. Larry David didn't want to talk about this subject either, so he told Mark Levin to call Rob Reiner. He called Rob Reiner, and it's amazing how he could just call these people up, this Levin guy. He calls Rob Reiner, and guess what? Rob Reiner didn't want to talk about it either. He told him to call Norman Lear. So
it went all around in a circle.
The Jews in the media don't want to talk.
Yeah. Now,
which didn't really help Levin's case in trying to dispel the theory
that
powerful Jews are controlling
all stick together,
all
Now, another thing that's very infamous, a very famous photo, is that one of George Bush. You know the one where he has the yarmulke on his head?
Uh-huh.
He's standing in front of the Israeli flag, hand over his heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Star of David right there. And he goes on into the Christian end timers. Now, we know that the brainwashed Bush cabal, the religious right, these Christians that are so brain dead, they can't even think for themselves. Well, he explains why the Christian right is so much in favor of Israel. Is these people actually want an apocalypse on our planet. Because once the end of the world comes, the apocalypse, then, at least according to them and their twisted brains, we'll have the rapture. And since these good Christians that support Israel, God's chosen people, since they're so devoted, that when the rapture comes, they're the ones who are going to be lifted up to heaven. And then, God's going to punish all the other bad people.
Do you see Judaism as like a product of Christianity that burgeoned because out of Christianity?
No, absolutely not.
Some people do.
Not even remotely.
Well,
I mean, Judaism existed before Christianity. So what these people, and since, according to them, this big apocalypse is going to take place in the Middle East, they're celebrating this war. They want this war to happen because they're the good Christians that support the good Israelis. And blow up the whole damn world, because before that happens, God's going to come down and get the good Christians and take them up to heaven. And then he's going to destroy the rest of us because we're the bad people. Because we're telling the truth about Israel. And it's very interesting.
But you know you're not supposed to do that. You cannot tell the truth about Israel because the truth about Israel is anti-Semitic. Remember, everything you say about Israel, if you don't say you love everything Israel says and does, is anti-Semitic.
Yeah. And, well, another thing that was probably the only segment of the... I mean, there was no humor in this movie whatsoever. No sense of humor.
What about the Daniel Pearl part?
Yeah.
Where he has absolutely... This Levin guy has absolutely no expression or reaction of sorrow or concern or anything about Palestinian genocide. Yet this guy, Daniel Pearl, you know, remember him? He got his head cut off over in the Middle East and, what was it, in Iraq, right?
I'm not even sure.
And this guy, Levin, looked like he was going to have a nervous breakdown looking at the image of Daniel Pearl on a TV screen. He's covering his eyes, and he just looked like he was going to break down and cry.
But yesterday I was talking to Viz on the telephone, and while I was doing so, Lisa was looking through these pictures that are coming from Lebanon right now, and she actually had tears running down her face because these are the most gruesome. Hundreds and hundreds of these children slaughtered, skin peeled off their bodies.
And the text on each of the pictures was, is this a measured response? Is this a measured response? And it's just body parts blown off, children chemically burned, people on fire. Yeah. You know, it's just, I don't understand how people cannot react to that. But I guess if you have no conscience, you don't have a reaction.
Yeah, but most, getting back to this point, most of the people that, Mark Levin interviewed that were, quote-unquote, anti-Semitic, they were people that haven't thought this out very much. So he would get, like, you know, punks on the street or whatever, or these very virulent racists.
The guy from the National Alliance. Yeah.
Well, he was actually fairly good.
He was good.
They were on some street somewhere in a city, and they these punks were talking, and they were saying, well, you know, that what you have to call America now is Jew-America, and America's all Jewish. And he says, look at New York City. Who's the mayor? He's a Jew. And Mark Levin says, well, what about the mayor before him, Rudolph Giuliani? And the other kid says, ah, Giuliani. Get it? Giuliani. He's controlled by the Jews. You can tell by his name, Giuliani.
Yeah, so in other words, he picked a lot of people who were ignorant to put into this video, and some that were extremists.
Yeah.
Just to make his point, to get his point across that these people possess complete blind hatred of Jews. They're jealous of Jews. They're bitter and resentful of Jews because Jews are more successful, and they believe in the protocols because they just want to believe in a big lie.
And look how many very well-versed, intelligent, well-spoken individuals we've had on Wing TV that have discussed this subject. Mark Levin didn't contact any of these people. He goes and gets, as Lisa said, the extremists or street punks or teenagers or whatever, and he gets this very jaded or very extremist view that's not...
He presents one side. It's like what you see on TV. Pro-Israel version, propaganda, that shows you one side of the issue in favor of Israel.
Right.
And you don't get a fair and balanced portrait of anything else. You get the myopic view.
Yeah. So, to close this out, to show the way this whole thing works, and Lisa will remember this, when Mel Gibson's movie came out a couple years ago, and I wrote the book Christ Killer shortly thereafter, well, there was a TV show on Channel 3 here, that's PBS, the public broadcasting, and we never watched TV, but one of my buddies called up and he says, hey, they're going to have a forum or a discussion about Mel Gibson's movie, and they're all Jewish people, and they're going to say how bad the movie is and how the Jews didn't kill Christ. And he says, you ought to call into that show. So I said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to. So they started talking about this, and they said, okay, we're going to take calls. So I was the first caller through, and they said, what do you want to discuss? I said, well, you notice, I noticed how you said the Jews didn't kill Christ, but in this book I have here, I list 20 different facts proving that they did. And I said, if you give me like 2 or 3 minutes, I'll go down a list. So I get number one, number two. By the time I started reading number three, they hung up the phone on me. Then they start mocking me.
Yeah, after they abort the phone call, when he can't respond, okay, then they publicly start ridiculing him and making fun of him, and it's such a cowardly way to go about it.
Yeah, so that's the way the system operates, and that's pretty much the basis upon which Mark Levin made this movie, the Protocols of Zion, that he didn't go out and find people like Mark Land or Mark Farrell.
They didn't really go through all of the protocols.
No.
I thought when we got this that they were going to go through all the protocols and relate them to, you know, real-life events and things that are going on in our world today.
And see if it actually pertains to the Jews or not.
Right, and give it a fair shake, but they didn't do that.
Well, the reason they didn't is obvious.
They just seemed more intent on focusing on this whole guilt, Jewish guilt and persecution complex, how they've been blamed everywhere they've been, everywhere they've lived. Well, why is that?
Their suffering is more tragic.
Right, than
their
anyone
hurt,
else's suffering.
Their funerals, their pain. Everything about them is more extreme, more pronounced than anybody else's. And the reason they didn't go into the protocols, Lisa, is because it would have proven what's going on. He didn't want to touch them with a 10-foot pole. He just wanted to barely use it as a basis so that he could say, oh, this racist track, this horrible thing, this is the worst evil ever, blah, blah, blah.
Well, but Bill Douglas had a problem with some signs made by 911truth.org being shown in this video. I saw one 9/11truth.org sign that said, you know, expose the 9/11 cover-up or something like that. One sign, and Bill Douglas flipped out saying that this casts all 9/11 activists as anti-Semitic.
It's just an easy excuse so they can keep their protection racket going.
Well, Douglas knows that there's going to be more information coming out very shortly about Israel's role in 9/11, and he was trying to do some ineffective damage control and stifle the discussion.
Yeah, pre-damage control.
Yep.
Well, wait till you read Lisa's article. I haven't even seen it yet. She's been working on it for days and days now. But we're going to run that article Friday. We're going to discuss this issue on Friday. Tomorrow we're going to have Mark Glenn on. Also, tomorrow's the last day to vote in our Wing TV poll. Who is the most dangerous nation in the Middle East? We're going to post the results on Friday. And some very interesting results. Some things I expected and some things I didn't expect. So,
which is always the case.
Yeah, very interesting. But it's been a very, very good response to this poll. We're very pleased.
Thank all of you for participating.
Exactly. So, our article on the Wing TV homepage today is called The Isolation Society. Take a look at that. This weekend, peel yourself away from the computers. Get out of this sucked-in world here, you know. And there is a world that exists outside, and we, too, get sucked too much into this computer. But, you know, there is a world out there. There's noises and sounds and everything going on. So
really?
Until tomorrow, we're glad you tuned in. Keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.